But we're here this morning to talk about hope. And I think a word that gets thrown around in our Christian circles quite a bit. And I think when we get to the end of Advent season, it's the first word we talk about, and you know, we're on to other things by the time it, you know, comes back around. But I wanted us to really dive in and take hold of the importance of hope and what that is and looks like and what that feels like for us. And so this morning, we'll be in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, and kind of going through the story of Jesus' birth as it was foretold. And so I'll read through that, and then we'll pray, and then we'll dive in together this morning. So starting in verse 26, the Bible says, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, 'Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you.' Confused and disturbed by this, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. 'Don't be afraid, Mary,' the angel told her, 'for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and he will be named Jesus. He will be very great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end.' Mary asked the angel, 'But how can this be? I am a virgin.' The angel replied, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail.' Mary responded, 'I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true.' And then the angel left her." Would you pause with me for a moment for prayer? Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your presence this morning. And God, we may be coming from places asking some of the same questions that Mary did. But in you, in your messenger, in your physical presence, she found hope. And so help us to do the same this morning as we spend some time in your word. God, not about things that I would have to say, but God, what you have to say to us this morning. So may your words be encouraging. May they motivate us. May they help us to feel seen by you this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so I think as we launch into the Advent story, I think it's important to understand the context in which all of this is kind of taking place. And Luke is really writing and using key terms to kind of describe and kind of set the stage for us. And so in verse 26, we hear that he's coming to visit Mary in a town called Nazareth. Mary was going to be engaged to a man named Joseph, or she is engaged to a man named Joseph, so she's not married, and Mary is a virgin. And so notice where the story is taking place. It's in Nazareth, right? It's in a small town in Galilee. It's not a big epicenter. It's not a huge city. It's not a certainly not, you know, a super well-known place at this time. There's not a lot of power and influence that happens in this place. It's small. It's kind of ordinary. And if it wasn't the birthplace of Jesus, I don't know that it would get a lot of talk and attention, on this side of Scripture. And notice who is being talked about. It's Mary, a virgin, someone who's young, someone who has no social status or influence in that time because hers came from being married. And so she was just a regular, ordinary, average girl. but it's into this often forgotten, humbled place that God decides to begin to intervene. And I think as we talk about hope and God speaking hope into this place, that hope often begins with the ordinary people in ordinary places. And it's often driven by, or it's always driven by, a God who steps into those places and makes something happen. Verses 28 and 29, Gabriel appeared to her, Mary, and says, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Verse 29, confused and disturbed by this, Mary tried to think, what could the angel mean? I would be confused and disturbed too if an angel just appeared to me suddenly by myself. But Mary is struggling to understand. Notice when it says she's confused and disturbed, she's not going, oh, the angel's here, my life is gonna be all figured out. No, she's confused. She's not confident. She's trying to figure out what is happening. And I think that's important for us to notice and take hold of this morning. We don't often approach God with everything figured out. I think when we think of the term hope, or we think of the people who have hope in this world, we think of the people that have everything all put together, right? Hope is for the people who have strong faith, that don't have doubts, that never have any questions, that have their finances figured out, their health is in good order. Hope is for those people. But Luke writes and gives us the descriptive words that this young girl who's confused and is wondering and trying to figure out, what is God doing? And it's in this moment that God chooses to usher in hope. And so as we go this morning, I said this in my prayers, many of us may be coming from a place where we feel depleted. Maybe we feel overlooked. Maybe we're struggling to find a picture of what God might be doing in the midst of all of these things. Maybe you're weighed down by grief, anxiety, health concerns, disappointment. And maybe you believe that hope is not for you, or that you are not sitting in a place where hope can help. In fact, you are the very person in the very place where God always shows up. You see, God broke into Mary's ordinary life, and he can break into ours as well. And so I want to go through a couple of things that we see within this narrative this morning and pull out some important truths of hope, and hopefully reframe and reshape that for us this morning. And so the first thing is that Christ is our hope. It was announced, it was told by the angel. And notice when Mary is spoken to by the angel doesn't say, hey, here's step one, right? You're gonna, you know, gonna have to leave your home and travel far away because Jesus is gonna be born, you know, somewhere else. Step two, people are probably gonna say some things about you because you're gonna be pregnant and you're not married and you know, listen, that doesn't look well, so be prepared for that. He doesn't lay out all of these things for Mary. He doesn't say, Mary, you're gonna just have to pray a little bit harder. You're gonna have to try a little bit harder. Things are gonna be hard, but don't worry, they'll get better. He doesn't just kind of placate and smooth things over for her. The message to her is the literal person in presence of Jesus. The angel said to her, do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God, and you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and he will be named Jesus. He will be great. He will be called Son of the Lord Most High. And the Lord your God, and he will be given the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and in his kingdom there will be no end. Because hope in its purest form this morning, if we take that away, hope in its purest form isn't a well-executed plan. It's not a mission statement. It's not the curriculum. It's not any of those things. It's not thoughts and prayers. It's not, you know, a generic spiritual thing. It is the literal physical presence of Jesus, the Son of God. And the angel tells us some really important things that I think is, it's not just Jesus, but it's Jesus will be great. He will be called Son of the Most High. He won't just come for a time, but he will reign forever, and his kingdom will never end. And I think it's all the more important that these things are told, because there's always, the promises in scripture are always fulfilled, right? And so if you go all the way back to Isaiah 9, you see, there will be a child born called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, who will establish a kingdom of righteousness. And Paul would say in 1 Timothy that Christ Jesus is our hope. Christ, he's not coming to give hope, he's coming to be hope for us. Paul would also say in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that everything, all the promises of God find their yes or their fulfillment in Christ. So our posture as Christians, our attitude, our positioning isn't, I'm going to hope that things will just get better. Our hope is that Jesus has come, that he's reigning, that he died on the cross for my sins in place of me. He found me worthy to adopt me into the family of God, and that he will also come again. And so it's not just simple things. It's not just an overlooked word, the quick lighting of a candle, but it's the literal physical presence. And what I want us to see is how the angel begins his message to Mary, because I think this is important for us to receive the message the same way. In verse 30, he says, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." And you see, before Mary hears anything about what's going to happen, she is told how God feels about her, that she is favored, she is anointed, that God is with her. You see, hope is not, like Peter Parker gets bit by a spider and then suddenly we have all these magical crazy powers and things like that, right? And suddenly we can do all these innate and powerful things. No. Hope is rooted in the fact that aside from God, I can't do any of those things. It's not that I am suddenly stronger. It's that God is with me. It's not that suddenly I can handle everything, but it's that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And so I want you to hear this morning that hope, that what we're talking about in the Advent season, hope is not going to be the absence of fear. Hope is the presence of Jesus in the middle of that fear. It is God with us. And so Jesus is the hope. He's not bringing the hope. He is the hope. And I want us to see this morning too that hope grows out of our yes to God. So Mary's response is pretty extraordinary when you read through it. And obviously she has some questions, right? So verse 34, she says, "How can this be? I am still a virgin," right? She doesn't pretend that this is just something simple, the angel told me, so everything's going to be fine. I don't need to worry. But she's really asking a powerful question. How can this be? And I alluded to this morning, that some of us might be asking that same question. How can this be? How can this be when the state of my family is in this particular condition? How can it be when there's broken relationships? How can this be when my health is what it is? How can this be when I look around and I see brokenness and I see division and I see hate and anger in the world around me? How can this be? And I think it's important to understand that the angel's response isn't, "Mary, don't ask that question. How dare you doubt that God can do these things for you?" God isn't afraid of our questions. In fact, God welcomes our questions. Having hope or accepting that Jesus is the embodiment of hope in real life for us doesn't mean that we have to stop thinking. God welcomes our questions because he has an answer. And the angel answers Mary in verses 35 through 37. I took a training recently where it said good speaking often includes uncomfortable moments, so thank you for bearing with me while I had a drink of water. But the angel answers in verse 35 through 37, it says, the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. So what's the answer to how can this be? How can this be? I am a virgin. The answer is not because you are strong and capable, Mary. The answer is because the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And notice what he says at the end is that even Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived, because nothing is impossible for God. And so he doesn't just say the Holy Spirit is going to come and the presence of God will literally dwell, like, I mean, physically dwell and be created within you. But he also provides, the angel also provides an additional important note that, you know, your relative Elizabeth, right? She's old. Everybody has thought that she was barren for years, but she has also conceived because God willed it to be so. And so the answer is the Holy Spirit. Again, hope is not I can do anything. Hope is that God can do what I could never. That God is faithful, that God is present, that God is available and living and dwelling within me should I ask him to be. Hope is God's presence. And then I love Mary's reaction and response in verse 38. Then Mary said, here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. And then the angel departed. And so the heart of hope is not, God, please fix everything. The heart of Advent is, God, here am I. Start with me. Live and dwell within me. And through that, let me accomplish what it is that you have according to your word. Does Mary's yes mean that she suddenly understands all the things? No. Does it mean that she knows the effect and the shame and the ridicule and all of the things that's going to come for her reputation, her relationship with her soon-to-be husband, with her family? Does it mean that she is ready and prepared for all of those things? No. But what she says is yes. Here am I. Lord, I belong to you. You see, hope is not a passive word that comes by and a candle that we light and you know, a fist bump on the way out. It's not passive. Hope is trusting and surrendering. And in that trust and surrender of God, we courageously say, yes, Lord, work in me. I don't have it all figured out, but I have you. Hope is also seen in our actions. You see, Mary becomes the literal place where Christ is formed and carried and brought into this world, and so she bears him physically. And scripture paints a picture of that same concept for us, that God wants Christ to physically dwell within us. And Paul would say that in a couple of different places. In Colossians 1, he would say that Christ is in you, and because Christ is in you, you have the hope of glory. So Christ is in us, the presence, the character, the life, the example that Jesus lives, and how we take that and then we take it inward and then express it outward. That is the hope in our actions that the world so desperately needs to see. It's in Mary's story that we see that hope is not only that Christ was born, but that Christ then walked and lived amongst the people he dwelled with them. And that's God's design for us. It's not that we just say, yes, Christ lived and he is coming back, right? Those are the bookends, right? Christ lived and died on the cross and he is coming back once again. But it's what happens in the middle. It's when Christ dwells within us, his hope is then shown through us. Jesus says in Matthew 5, starting in verse 14, and it says, you are the light of the world. And if we are the light of the world, this is then what he says later on. It says, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father in heaven. Notice he doesn't say try your best to become light. He says you are the light. If you have accepted Jesus into your heart, if you believe that he is the hope that we're talking about in this Advent season, and he's not the hope because we lit the first candle, he's been the hope this whole entire time. But you are the light of the world. Not because, again, you have sudden divine innate powers, but because he lives and dwells within you. Paul, again, in Ephesians 5 says, for once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light, and so live as children of light. And that's the Advent hope for us today, and that's what I want us to take forward with us this morning, is that it's not just hope in the story. It's not just hope as we light the candles. It's not just hope as we get to Christmas Eve service and light the candles and sing Silent Night. It's not just hope in those moments. It's not hope only when I have things figured out. But it's through God's physical presence in my life that gives me the courage and the power to say yes and to work through those difficult moments. This wasn't an easy journey for Mary. Scripture doesn't give us the benefit of knowing the types of things that she faced. But if you look around the world and you see the types of things othered people experience that are outside of what we would say is you know, a righteous living, you can imagine the type of shame and ridicule that she would have faced during this. I imagine her time after time, day after day, facing all of these things, reminding herself of that prayer, Lord, here am I. Lord, I am yours. Give me courage and strength for today. Lord, here am I. And so as we think of the story of hope, that Jesus is the physical embodiment, the presence of hope that not just came and is coming again, but dwells and lives with us right now in this space. That it's in the ordinary life. It's in the ordinary places. It's in our willingness to say yes. Yes to Christ living within us that changes our thoughts and our actions and lets other people see that hope. And so three things I think that we can do as we enter into the Advent season. Where are you asking, how can this be, Lord? And that's not a shame-driven question. So please hear the posture in which we bring that. It's an honest question to God. God, I have all this going on. How could I possibly do this thing that you're asking me to do? How can I serve? How can I do this when I'm just not feeling well? I'm struggling with familial relationships. I'm struggling financially. God, how can this be? And when we bring that and come to that place in honesty, that's the surrender. Because we couldn't do it without him to begin with. And it starts by acknowledging that. It starts by acknowledging it's that it's his power and his presence. So where are we asking the question, how can this be, Lord? Where is God inviting you to say, here am I. Let it be with me according to your word. It isn't going to be the perfect timing. It isn't going to be when, you know, this particular, you know, challenge is over. It isn't going to be when we have full, complete understanding of why on earth this thing is happening to me. Here am I. Let it be according to your word is a step of faith and trust. That I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But I know that God will be with me. And that he will help me. So where are we asking, how can this be? Where are we inviting? Where is God inviting us to say, here am I? And this week, I think we can all take one step to say yes. One step to be the embodiment of hope for another people. And there's three options that you could choose from today. One is to say yes to encouragement. Who is a person that you can reach out and intentionally encourage? Someone that you know is having a hard time. Someone that you know is maybe alone this holiday season and maybe having a hard time with that. You could pick up one of these prayer-filled invitations to one of our fellowship opportunities, and you can encourage and invite someone to come in and be a part of the fellowship. We were talking recently in the board of CE, and we were talking about making some changes to our family fall festival that we wound up doing last Sunday. And we were talking about, you know, why would we change? Like, what would be the benefit of changing? And so in the meeting, we discussed that, you know, when you hear from people that have come and been a part of this body for any part of time, the thing that brought them in was an invitation, but the thing that got them to stay was they felt accepted and seen. It's like a family, like this is one big happy family, right? And so we wanted to create the most amount of that opportunity for people to experience. And so inviting someone to come and be a part of that is a way to say yes to encouragement. So who is one person you can intentionally encourage? Say yes to generosity. What is one quiet, emphasis on the quiet, what is one quiet, sacrificial gift that you can give this season? And that doesn't have to be financial. That could be time. That could be time in prayer. That could be, you know, any sort of giving that you have available. And not to post it on Facebook, not to put it on Instagram, not to Pinterest it or whatever it is that you know, everybody's doing Snapchat, all those things, right? But what's one humble way between you and God that you could sacrificially give of yourself to another in need? So yes to encouragement, yes to generosity. And this is probably the one that's going to be harder for people to do, but I think it's important to talk about. Where can we say yes to reconciliation or obedience? What's one hard thing that God might be prompting you to do? A relationship that you need to fix. A step of obedience that you need to take. A recommitment. Where can you repair a rupture that exists between you and another person, or maybe even between you and God? Because hope is the presence of God. And God can drive out the division, but you've got to take the steps also in that. So where is God calling you to be faithful and obedient, to reconcile, to repair? And so I want us to take a second and just kind of pause. And I want you to think in your minds, I gave you the three options, and we're not going to raise hands of who's going to do what, because this is between you and God. But as you close your eyes and pause for just a moment, and answer this question. Lord, this week, my yes will be, and fill in the blank. Will you say yes to encouragement? Will you say yes to generosity? Will you say yes to reconciliation, to repair, to obedience, to living faithfully in the place that God has asked you to? Even if it's difficult. And as we close this morning, I want Mary's words to be our prayer. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for God, hope this morning. And I can say, God, that we all have hope because you're here. Your presence is with us. Not because I asked it to be, not because we lit the candle, not because Pastor welcomed and encouraged us and prayed for today, but God, your presence is here because you want to be with us. Scripture tells us that that's true. You leave the 99 to come find the one. God, you want to dwell and be with your people. And so, God, because we have access to your presence this morning, help us to accept it. Help us to take the next step and to welcome that presence into our own individual lives. And God, as you manifest your spirit, your presence, your Holy Spirit within us, God, would it shift us to that posture of prayer that Mary had? Here am I, the servant of the Lord. May it be as you say. And God, that would then be the start of the outward expression of how we interact with people, not just this season, but God, our hope is to transform the world, to have others to be welcomed into your family, not for attendance purposes or numbers, but because we want people to experience the hope and the change and the love that we've experienced. And so help that be manifest in our actions. Help us to say yes to you this week in one of these three ways. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.